Jerry Bader Show 935. Two quick points from the NFL. Item one, Aaron Rodgers in his weekly radio show suggested he might not be back for another 4 to 6 weeks. So look, the normal healing time for a collarbone fracture of this nature, 6 to 8 weeks. Anything else you heard? Well, no. He engaged in this? Well, I'd like to be back next week, he said before this past week's game. He was encouraging that type of speculation. Now he seems to be more of a realist, and he pointed out it's not about pain management. He doesn't appear to be in any pain. It's about that thing snapping like a turkey wishbone on Thanksgiving if someone hits it again. That's what it's about. And the reality is, no one knows how long it's going to take to be safe from that. In other words, fully healed. He's not going to be back this week. We already know that. On Monday, Mike McCarthy said it's going to be Scott Tolzien. That gives you only another 4 days to Thanksgiving. He's not going to be back for Thanksgiving. I guarantee it. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say this. Suppose they lose both games. And quite honestly, the way they're playing now, I believe they can lose to Minnesota at home. I'm not going to predict that, but I think they can. I hope they don't. But let's say they do. And then let's say they lose on Thanksgiving. They're going to be 5-7 if that were to happen. Is there really any point in risking Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the regular season at all? At that point, and just say, look, you reached an injury tipping point. You're no longer a contender. You could almost make that case if they lose to Minnesota. They'll be 5-6. They'll have lost another divisional contest. They've already lost one to Chicago. It would be over. There'd be virtually no way to win the division at that point. And wild card, I think you're going to have to go 10-6 to win a wild card. So I don't think it's going to happen. You're going to get at least one wild card again out of the NFC East, right? Probably San Francisco. I don't know that they're going to catch Seattle. Although they suffered a tough loss on Sunday. I don't know. But you really do start asking the question. On the other hand, if Scott Tolzien dramatically improves and the defense pulls its head out of wherever it is and starts playing well again and they win the next two, then I don't know. But it sounds what Aaron Rodgers was telegraphing is he's probably out for another 6 weeks. It's just the way it's sounding. What are the 49ers? They're 6-4. Who else? The Panthers. Why do I keep forgetting about the Panthers? They're only a game behind the Saints? Holy moly. And they're just getting better. I mean, their offense is still suspect. Their defense is loud. 135 points. Look around the NFL. Look around the NFL. Who else is down? Someone else is in that neck. No one is in that neck of the woods. They've only played 10 games, though, right? Yeah, okay. Haven't other teams? No, everybody's only played 10, huh? Yeah. Okay. No, okay. Yeah, no, at least the Bengals. But most everyone has only played 10 at this point. It's just amazing. Just an amazing defense. So I didn't, yeah. Boy, they got... So Carolina, San Francisco, the Bears for that matter, it's going to be tough. This is so difficult. We are just not used to looking forward to next year in November. I lived through decades of this, and a lot of younger fans have not. One other thing. I mentioned it yesterday. I think I mentioned it on the air. Maybe I just told you, Jace. I don't remember now. The controversial pass interference call at the end of Monday Night Football, the officials threw a flag and then picked up the flag and said it wasn't pass interference. And their explanation is that, it wasn't. It had nothing to do, Jason, where the ball landed. They said that mugging in the end zone was not pass interference. I don't know how they could have seen it that way at first, and then, it wasn't really. We thought it was, but no, it wasn't. Wall Street Journal has a piece today where they talk about pass interference has become the new holding. That holding happens on every down, and it does. Holding happens on every down in the NFL, so because of that, anytime it's called, someone's being singled out. That's the argument. The analogy is if every car on the highway is speeding and you get stopped, well, what the hell? I'm flowing with traffic. Everyone's doing 73 miles an hour, which I was, or faster, and you hit me. Why? Because you felt like it. That's starting to be now what's happening with pass interference. And the Wall Street Journal pointed out pass interference calls on defense have risen dramatically. Offensive pass interference has stayed flat. And I see pushing off all the time. I don't know what you do about it. But you just wonder, again, it's a judgment call. It's a judgment call like a strike or a ball or a charge in basketball. And you can't really review it. But when it's so egregious, when the guy is just getting tackled the way the receiver was in Monday night's game, how can they call it and then get together, confer, no, it wasn't? How does that happen? It's just very strange. As you know, Friday is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of JFK, and everybody's doing something this week. Where were you when JFK was killed? Which, when you ask people that question now to remember, the person you're asking has to be at least 60. That means they would have been 10 years old, or close to that. It's getting harder and harder and harder to find people who can answer that question. How many people can answer the question, where were you when you learned of Pearl Harbor? I don't know if my mom can or not. She has Alzheimer's and there's not much she remembers these days. It would be interesting to see if she remembered that. It's getting tough. It's getting tough. But it would be interesting to see what she does know, if she would remember a moment like such as that. And the conspiracy theorists are back, and all of that. What we've been doing this week, what we started yesterday, is tackling myths. Tackling media myths. And not just media myths, but well-entrenched myths about JFK, including the assassination, but his presidency, and so on. Yesterday, we mentioned the fact that he just wasn't the liberal that people think, that liberals tried to hold him up as this patron saint of liberalism. He wasn't. He was actually, and even conservatives don't like to hear this, he's actually pretty close to Reagan. He was every bit the cold warrior that Ronald Reagan was. He really was. Bear any burden, pay any price. Let the word go out to friend and foe alike. Conservatives still criticize the handling of the Cuban Missile Crisis. We don't know what would have happened had we invaded Cuba. It's a tough call. But here's the one I want to tackle now, and a lot of conservative publications are tackling this. This is, I think, the number one Kennedy mythology. Some of the Kennedy mythologies have been exposed. The family man, we now know that he had hot and cold running women in the White House. We know that now. And nobody, not even the keepers of the Kennedy flame, even they stopped denying that. The woman who was a 19-year-old intern who wrote the book, what was that, last year or whatever? The Kennedy defenders didn't go near her. They didn't touch her. They didn't criticize her. Nobody seemed to doubt her story. And she had a pretty fantastic story of the sexcapades in the White House. And that wasn't just JFK, that he had her service others. And nobody seemed to refute that. So that myth is gone. That myth is squashed. The younger-looking, happy family man, that everybody knows about that lie now. But there's another mythology, and it has nothing to do with Kennedy the man. It has everything to do with the assassination. Liberals will not let this go. And they won't let it go because they want to parlay it into an advantage in modern politics. That is the myth that an atmosphere of conservative hate in Dallas in November 1963 led to his assassination. There are two pieces I want to share with you on this. The National Review Online has one today. Repeat after me. JFK was killed by a communist. Again, JFK was killed by a communist. One more time. JFK was killed by a communist. Why? Because the New York Times keeps telling us how the Dallas of 1963 was a right-wing city of hate. The latest installment comes today. In the early 1960s, a small but vocal subset of the Dallas power structure turned the political climate toxic, inciting a right-wing hysteria that led to attacks on visiting public figures. In sermons, rallies, newspapers, and radio broadcasts, the city's richest oil baron, a Republican congressman, a Baptist pastor, and others, including the local John Birch Society, filled Dallas with an angry McCarthy-esque paranoia. Darn it, Lee Harvey Oswald's communism is such an inconvenience for these people. Don't worry, though, there's still plenty of hate in Texas and, well, all over the place. The extremism in Dallas in 1963 still thrives in Texas today, although less so in Dallas itself. Back then, commentators on the radio program sponsored by oil baron H.L. Hunt said that under Kennedy, firearms would be outlawed so people would not have the weapons with which to rise up against their oppressors. This past February in West Texas, the sheriff in Midland County, Gary Painter, said at a John Birch Society luncheon that he would refuse to confiscate people's guns from their homes if ordered by the Obama administration, and referred to the president's State of the Union address as propaganda. And then the New York Times goes on and on and on. Now, I believe it was Adlai Stevenson who his motorcade, was it September? Came under a mild attack in Dallas. I don't want you to minimize it. Dallas did not like JFK. Texas did not like JFK. That is generally true. And immediately after his assassination, reporting and commentary focused on that. Before anyone knew who Lee Harvey Oswald was or what his motive was. This continues today. He was a pro-Castro former defector to the Soviet Union. How much more communist does it have to get? Seriously, how much more communist does it have to get? Yet they continue this, and it led to the Tea Party today. They so desperately wanted to believe that, they have spun that into the fabric, even though there's no evidence of it at all. As I said, I'm not convinced Oswald acted alone. But if there was a conspiracy, I buy into the theory that it was a mob conspiracy. Everybody has their own. If Oswald didn't act alone, I believe the mob is the most likely suspect. Quite frankly, because here's the way the theory goes, and I buy into it, that the mob helped Daley deliver Cook County, Illinois, to Kennedy, which gave him the presidency. And they expected a free pass for as long as JFK was president. And his administration did not give the mob a free pass. To me, that's as logical as any other theory. But I understand everybody has a theory and whatever. So I don't even want to get into that as we approach the 50th anniversary. But the way media outlets are using this false narrative of this atmosphere of hate leading to his assassination, so they can continue to say that conservatives are hate-filled today, is obnoxious. And it needs to be called out. Whatever the feelings for JFK were, and remember, with LBJ's help, he narrowly carried Texas in 1960. It was one of the few times that a running mate was chosen, and the two men hated each other. Not as much as RFK and LBJ hated each other. But they certainly weren't friends in the U.S. Senate, Kennedy and Johnson. But he knew he needed Johnson. He had to carry Texas, or he was not going to win the White House. He knew that. And Johnson was enough. Johnson was enough to carry Texas. But this notion that this atmosphere of hate, James Pearson writing last week in the Wall Street Journal, same thing. As this anniversary approaches, liberals are ginning up this lie to try to transfer it to modern politics. It is just that. It's a lie. Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist. And Pearson calls JFK a casualty of the Cold War. If Oswald did it, then yeah, he was. It's 9:52.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.